This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. And on this Easter morning, I'm joined by Bishop Tricia as we celebrate the event that's at the very heart of our Christian faith. But we need to start on a Friday at the foot of a cross. Jesus Christ did nothing but good during his life, but died a hideous death by crucifixion whilst his closest friends watched, powerless and terrified.
Over that weekend, the disciples went into hiding in fear that their lives would be taken as well. They were terrified and confused. They'd never imagined it would have ended the way it did. And when they saw Jesus die, they were completely devastated. As dawn broke on the Sunday morning, some women headed to the tomb to anoint the body with expensive spices. Mary Magdalene ran ahead of the group and was the first to see that the massive stone covering the tomb had been moved. The tomb itself was empty, and the soldiers guarding the grave had fled. Mary couldn't believe her eyes and turned and ran to tell two disciples, Peter and John, what had happened. They sprinted to the tomb and saw for themselves the open grave, the empty sheets in which his body had been wrapped. And they left, John believing, Peter wondering. It was then that Mary and the other women saw angels. And then Jesus himself appeared to them. He was alive, just as he promised. Nothing would ever be the same again.
And so today we celebrate. Happy Easter. He is risen.
He's risen indeed. Happy Easter.
We're entering the real heart of the joy of Easter. But actually, I'm taken back to the beginning of this week, to the beginning of Holy Week, because I'm really grateful for this profound experience when so many people from across the island came together to participate in the Isle of Man Choral Society's performance of Carl Jenkins' The Armed Man. The subtitle is A Mass for Peace. And in a world that's so wounded and racked by war and conflict, that shared point of reflection, of coming together, and this vocalising of our huge longing for peace spoke so powerfully to me about what it means to be united in hope together. And then later this past week, this Holy Week, I found it really significant, actually, that in the heart of that week came that spectacular launch of the Artemis II mission, which so points us to humanity's capacity for courage and risk-taking and collaboration and vision, embarking together on a journey, and a journey where the outcome, frankly, isn't fully known. And yet it's undertaken with such determination and trust and joy. I'm struck that actually one of the astronauts, Victor Glover, he's the mission pilot and also the first African-American to go beyond low Earth orbit. He is also a devout Christian. When asked what was the personal object he's taking with him, he's taking two things. One is a memento for his family that he can bring back to them. And the second is his Bible. And I can't help wondering what words he might be looking at this day, today, Easter Day. I can't help wondering whether some of the readings that we have in our churches and we might be reading at home might also have been read by him in space as he looks back on this fragile, war-torn world from afar. It seems to me in both these moments, one which is really obviously rooted in our local community, but the other that reaches out far, far into the vastness of space, I think there's something in both those stories that echo the heart of the Easter story. Because Easter is also about a mission that began in complete uncertainty, and it's marked by sacrifice and risk and profound love for this world. And Christ's journey to the cross wasn't one of safety, but it was one of faithfulness, of obedience. And through it came this astonishing promise of new life. And the resurrection assures us that even in the darkest moments, God is at work, bringing hope and reconciliation and renewal. I'm hoping that as we celebrate Easter, we might hold fast to the hope that Christians take in Jesus Christ, a hope that calls us to be those who dare towards the very greatest achievements. Reid Wiseman, the commander of the Artemis mission, declared as they set off that we, quotes, go for all humanity. And I think there's something in that call for us, following in the footsteps of the risen Jesus and rising above these conflicts with such huge, devastating realities and impacts on the lives of individuals, of men and women and children and communities, and to rise above selfish and delusional ambitions and to persevere in the face of uncertainty. And to recognise actually that both on our island and across the globe, we are bound together in a shared story of possibility and of redemption. I'm really struck by the comment again by the astronauts as they said they looked back to the Earth and they saw the whole Earth from pole to pole within one frame of one of the windows. One Earth, one frame.
Thank you.
Thursday of Holy Week, it's customary to have a church service that commemorates the Last Supper, the Passover that Jesus celebrated before his arrest and trial, and which began, before they ate together, with Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, a sign of welcome and respect for visitors who'd been walking on the dusty roads, but a task that would have been carried out by a servant, certainly not the host. Our services that recall that Last Supper also include the washing of feet of some members of the congregation. And this year, it's this washing of feet that's spoken very powerfully to Bishop Tricia in several ways, as she now explains.
I think there's something about the life of Jesus Christ that is both eternal and yet new. The Easter story in particular touches on eternal human themes as well as divine themes. So about power and oppression and about the brutality of might and the challenge to those oppressive regimes that draws on love and friendship in the face of betrayal, that seeks compassion and hope and liberation, and which offers purpose and life in the face of death. So these are things that we all deal with and we will always deal with. These are eternal themes. And yet life changes, and some of these come to the fore at different times in our lives. And that's the way our faith grows, actually. I hope it's an upward spiral as we engage with these things and as the Holy Spirit speaks into our lives through the events and weaves them with the truths of the gospel. For me, there was something that struck me this past Holy Week about leadership and what that looks like, and what might Holy Week or Easter say about that. That actually, when it came to the washing of the feet, which the new Archbishop did in Canterbury Cathedral, she wore her stole, which is the sign of ordination, as the deacon would. So she wore it across her body rather than straight down as she knelt to wash feet. And that's a real symbol that actually, despite all her many responsibilities and roles, she is at her heart a deacon, that is, someone who serves. She spoke of how that took her back, the act of washing feet, to her role as a nurse, and how that act of service echoed the many acts of service that so many people in the nursing profession and elsewhere undertake day by day. There's this connection between the everyday and the act of Christ kneeling, the act of the Archbishop kneeling. So there's something very profound about that. So although her life has changed and her role has changed, at her core, there is that stable sense of who she is in Christ, and that is his servant.
This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow. To bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king.
For me this year, in our cathedral, the Cathedral of the Isle of Man over in Peel, I had the opportunity to again wash feet. And I found that such a moving experience. It's such an intimate and profound thing to be able to do. So I'm so grateful to the brave souls who were willing to let me wash their feet. And as I did that, I was struck again, almost for the first time, between the link in my mind between Jesus taking in his hands the feet of those who had been gathered around the table with him that night in which he was betrayed and arrested and then taken away and crucified the next morning. His taking of feet and tenderly washing them, and how then within just a matter of hours, his own feet would be pierced. And then thinking about how his body would be taken down from the cross and almost without opportunity to do all the necessary washing, his body would be placed into the tomb. and how it would be the next day after that, the third day, that the women would come to do that washing and cleansing of his body, but would find him no longer in the tomb, but free, released, death overcome. And I have to say, this year, there was something in that that took me back to a year ago. My husband, Andrew, was one of those people who you could always rely on, frankly. Those of us who hang about churches know that actually it can be quite hard to get people to be willing to wash their feet. It's not easy to agree, to be so exposed. And so Andrew, nearly every time, would come and offer. And it was not something he would ever feel that comfortable about doing, but he would do it. So as I washed feet this year, I was really conscious of a set of feet who were absent, but also the reminder of what it is to have those intimate moments with those we love, where we can really show the love that we have for them and that they have for us, that we wash one another's feet and we care for one another. And that is such a gift. And it's the love of God made real for me. So this year, carefully thinking about those who are not here with us, but who we know we will see again, and that we rejoice in the resurrection that we believe they're part of. But I'm also saying thank you to the people who, through this last year, have metaphorically washed my feet through their love and their care. So thank you to each of them.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Days later, He was alive again, just as he'd promised, and that's the power of that very first Easter, when through his death and resurrection, Jesus took the punishment our sins deserve and made it possible for us to know God. You see, Jesus was and is the only way to God. His coming into the world proves that God cares and wants to get to know us all. This friendship with God is like a wonderful gift. Whoever, wherever you are, Jesus is for you.
To put your trust, your complete trust, in someone or something, and to be able to do it, is a very precious gift. And the risen Christ says, "Trust me." All you who worry, all who are concerned, all you people who are carrying so much burden that you feel you can't carry it any longer or any further, well, come to me. No matter if you're worn out with worry, I'll give you the rest that the world can't give you.
Thank you to Bishop Tricia for joining me this morning to celebrate this Easter Day. You also heard the voice of Russell Boulter and another voice whose wise words continue to inspire us, the late John Kenyuk. And this music is an Easter version of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, sung by the Cathedral Choristers and recorded a couple of years ago in Peel. My guest on the programme last week was author and broadcaster Richard Littledale, talking about his new series of podcasts, which incidentally you can find if you search for Bespoke Words wherever you normally listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, for example. Searching for Bespoke Words will take you straight to Richard's channel. But I said last week there was a second part, a very different part, to my conversation with Richard, and I gave you a clue and promised to tell you more this week. But we've spent so much time celebrating Easter that we've run out of time. So maybe I'd better give you another clue.
There's a magical place called Kulmbach, and I want to introduce you to it. It sits between the soaring bulk of Mynydd Gurig, or Heather Mountain, with her purple skirts of heather, and the ocean lapping at the sea wall and sending spray onto the windows of the train as it pulls into the station. To one side is the grey and gritty world of slate and industry, and away across the goods yard stretch the green fields with their bleating sheep and their silent, ancient stones. Kulmbach is only small, but it's bursting with stories. Come on in, and I'll tell you one.
And I promise the full story will be on this programme next week. But now it's notice board time, and we start with today's services. Reverend Lyle Boyd, a missionary in Spain, will be the preacher in Port Erin Gospel Church at both their services today at 11:30 this morning and 7 p.m. this evening, and all are welcome. This evening, there'll be an Easter celebration of communion at St James's, Dorby, starting at 6:30, and it'll be followed by tea and cake in the schoolrooms. On to the week ahead now, and tomorrow, Easter Monday, there'll be an Easter celebration in Orrisdale Chapel on the Kirkmichael Loop Road. It's tomorrow afternoon at 2:30. The chairman is Gordon Clegg, the speaker Ned Kenyuk, and his topic is A Life Well Lived. The soloists are Penny Lavery, Ernie Thorne and Mike Derber, and the organist is Pauline Brew. The spoken word will be brought by Bob Harrison, and donations of food for tea would be very welcome. This week, there are two events in the Pastoral Centre right next door to St Anthony's Roman Catholic Church in Onchan. On Tuesday morning, the 7th, there's tea and chat from 10:30 till 12 noon. Paul Sale will be providing some musical entertainment and there'll be refreshments too. Everyone's welcome, but if you'd like to know more, have a word with Josie on 406 063 406 063. And there's a charity bingo also in St Anthony's Pastoral Centre in Onchan this Thursday, the 9th, starting at 7:30. Everyone's welcome to come and join in the fun with tea, coffee and a raffle. This Friday, the 10th, a soup lunch will be served in Mount Tabor, Port St Mary Methodist Church, between noon and 1:15. All are welcome. No need to book. Just come along and enjoy. And every Friday morning, there's a coffee morning in the lounge in Onchan Methodist Church, with the kettle boiling from 10 until 11:30, and a warm welcome for all. Glen May Chapel invites you to join them on Saturday, April the 11th, for something a bit different. Ostrich racing. It's next Saturday evening and it starts at 7 p.m. Admission is £10 per person, including supper and prizes. All proceeds will support Glen May Chapel. Tickets are available from Julia on 840 801 840 801. And finally, next Sunday, April the 12th, the Mariners Choir will be in Port St Mary Methodist Church for a service starting at the usual time of 6:30. And there'll be the usual supper and community hymn singing to follow. And that's all that we have time for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock with Easter Sundown. And I'd love you to come and join me in our virtual lounge for a great selection of easy listening music, plus your requests and dedications. And so, till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and those you love all the joys and promises of this Easter day, and a very good morning. The Nation Station.